Beavers win 62-17 on a cool, cloudy night at Research Stadium. They improved to 8-2. It's a big two-week stretch following Washington next week, then Civil War time the week after. I'm TJ Mathewson alongside Garrett Dworshak in our KEJO studios. This is the University Honda Beaver postgame call-in show. We'd like to thank University Honda for sponsoring this postgame call-in show. 2150 Northwest 9th Street in Corvallis. You need a new car, go check them out there in person or find them online at uhonda.com. They make buying a car easy. The way to get in on this Beaver postgame call-in show, 541-497-5356 is the number to text or call the University Honda text line, the Downward Dog phone line. Again, 541-497-5356. This was, as I put it while at the stadium, a clowning. Once it got 55-0 and Deshaun Fenwick was hurdling Stanford defenders, I don't know how much really there is to take away from this game specifically as it relates to the next 2 weeks, but we saw what we wanted to see from the Beavers today, an impressive offensive performance clicking on all cylinders for what they're going to need here in the next 2 weeks. I want to hear what you have to say, though, on the Downward Dog phone line or the University Honda text line, 541-497-5355. Let's start up first. Andy and Mitchell's on the Downward Dog phone line. Andy, good evening.
Hey, little daddy TJ. What's going on, buddy?
What's up? How are we doing?
Oh, I don't know. Pretty good, as you might imagine. I would just like to say, like you mentioned in your cold open, 2 weeks. We're down to 2 weeks. And the folks that run in my circles know how I feel about this. And I know you're in your 20s and you probably have Amazon Prime. So, you know, the hit show, The Summer I Turned Pretty. Well, this was The Summer I Turned Petty, TJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to unleash it the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Do you got anything teed up for tonight, or are we going to let it stretch out?
I've got a few things teed up. We're going to stretch it out. But I would just like to say, not too worried about the game day snub. I actually think it fuels it. I think we're nourished by it. It nourishes the hatred that we have in our hearts that we're going to channel and research. And I stand by what I said, and I've said from the beginning, we will not lose in research. I am already seeing several Husky fans feel a little overconfident there on X. Some of the folks that you maybe grew up with, maybe even classmates of yours, that are very confident about what's going to happen next week. But I would like to get your take. What would you put the old spread at? What would you have the action at, TJ, if you were setting the line for this game next week?
A pick 'em.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. That's fair. Because I think a lot of people might say, and even Jim Wilson alluded to it, maybe Husky's favored by a small amount, maybe like a 3, which is fine. I know they're undefeated, but I do feel they are beatable. They have shown flaws. I mean, they struggled with Stanford, and I think we did not.
Yeah,
so.
I would say anywhere from pick 'em to 3. I think the official line is about 3. I think Daschle looked at it this week, and he said it was 3 points, which sounds right. I think when you're 10-0, I think you earn that right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And what do you think? I'm kind of thinking we're going to see a 5-10 matchup. Does that sound about right to you?
I think about 11. It's just if 11. I think if the Beavers would need to jump. So Ole Miss is going to. I think they've lost already to Georgia, and then Penn State lost too. But it's just the question of the pollsters think that Oregon State's a better 2-loss team, maybe than Penn State. Perhaps I don't know if they'll jump them over Ole Miss. And then Louisville's ahead of them, and they won.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. There's some debate on me. I think just because of recency, we would jump Ole Miss and Penn State, but I do understand the argument because their losses are going to look better than ours. Arizona's obviously pretty good. They'll probably be ranked like 18 or 17 or something in the next poll.
Mm-hmm.
The Wazoo one continues to sting. They're terrible, so wish we could have that one back, but hey, can only live life forward, TJ. Can only live life forward. And then I guess, you know, going to the game tonight, and then I'll get back to my rage tour, but the game tonight, I think the biggest development, and you can tell me what your thoughts are on this, but the biggest thing for me is that Damian kicked it into gear tonight. That was the running back we were expecting all year. And not that he hasn't been good. I mean, stats are solid. He's been good. But we were kind of waiting for him to pop some runs, to break some tackles. And it just looks like, okay, Damian is in November mode. And I think that spells trouble for the next two opponents.
It does. And I would say more so it would express trouble for the Huskies next week who don't tackle.
Correct. And that's really the thing is, like, I think the game plan is pretty clear going in. Our defense has shown, improvement in spurts throughout the year, and they looked good again tonight, taking the ball away. But I think the recipe for this one is run the rock, take the air out of the football, and, I don't think, Washington, be lucky if you get more than 8 possessions. It's going to be one of those, like, I'm looking for those 15-play drives and just grind them down.
So you're looking to squeeze it out next week. I was thinking going into next week, I think the Beavers need to be, so you're thinking more of a ball control style on offense. I'm thinking they need to score as much as possible next week. You got it very well could be a shootout next week, and I think they got to be ready for it.
It definitely could be. I do like the ball control style, but let me tell you something, Teach. You heard it here first. I think Oregon State not only wins next week, I think it's more than one possession. I think it's 10 or more points. And even running ball control style. Just because it just feels like one of those games. This is going to be the most hostile environment Washington has played at.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be unhinged. And I think things are starting to click. Our offensive line is going to be mauling him. Penix, as great as he is, there are some times where he's a little erratic on the throw. So you force a 3-and-out here, 3-and-out there, just a couple of them. If you can get up early, then I feel like you can kind of control it. Totally. It wouldn't surprise me if it was a shootout, but kind of similar to last year, right? Going up there, we thought, you're going to have to score a ton of points. And what was it, like 24-21 in the end? Or, it's kind of that lower scoring, again, November clash where that physicality wins out, and it's not exactly what we're expecting. But that's just one thought.
Yeah.
I don't want to take up too much more of your time, TJ. I just want to say that President Anna Marie Kelsey is culpable. This is definitely on her, and she is bad words, and I hope Beaver Nation is ready to send a message.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate you contributing here on the Beaver Post Game Call-In Show. 541-497-5356. I'm sure we're going to hear from Andy throughout this week on the Joe Beaver Show and throughout the call-in show on his texts next week. If you want to jump in, we got a line open, 541-497-5356, the Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line here on the University Honda Beaver post-game call-in show. We do have Tyler that we're going to get to here in a second, but as Garrett answers the other line, we will get ready. So... someone just called right back. How about that? Let's get to a couple of texts while we sort out our phone line right now. S bringing great overall effort and game, loved all the time the younger guys got in the game. Priceless. Bring on the Huskies. Thank you, S. Mark and Corvallis with a nice long text. Good to see the offense sharp, even if it's against Stanford. Going to need similar efforts the rest of the season. Would have been really impressive had Smith not started pulling starters so early. Nice to see Gulbranson get some snaps at the end of the game. Defense made me nervous. 324 net yards of offense seemed a bit much to give up. Too many big plays. I don't know if I'm quite as concerned, Mark, but I appreciate your concern. Sappington injured or just precautionary pulled? I think I had left the game at that point, so I couldn't answer that one for you. Too bad Martinez robbed at his chance to set the single-game rush touchdown record because Stanford was stinking so badly. I really wouldn't worry about the defense. I mean, the Beavers put the backups in the game when it was 55-10 in the third quarter. I really wouldn't worry that much about the defense of that. I just want to go back to one point before we get to Tyler of what Andy said. I do really think regarding next week, I think this week was the best we've seen the Beavers play this season. It was against Stanford, but this was the best we've seen them play offensively and the combination of offense and defense. But most importantly, this is the best we've seen the Beaver offense this season. And if we notice, this Beaver offense was not in ball control mode tonight. They were in scoring mode tonight. And if this is what they're best at, is scoring mode, then I think that's what they're going to need against Washington next week, especially when that defense can be scored upon. 541-497-5356, the Downward Dog phone line, the University Honda text line. Let's hear from Tyler on the Downward Dog phone line. Tyler, good evening.
You're starting to steal some of my thoughts, TJ. Are you reading my mind or something?
Well, if I had that skill, then I think I would actually change professions. It might pay better.
Well, that's probably true. I don't have too many things to harp on. And tonight, as you said, I think it's probably their best game overall of the year. What we saw out there was the difference between a team that plays in the Pac-12 and a team that plays in the ACC, if you want to ask me.
Okay.
let's see. Overall, let's see. The only thing I'm somewhat worried about is, like, the defense played really, really good. They were very opportunistic, but they still seem like they're giving up a little too much, especially over the middle, which kind of concerns me. Not so much tonight, but I'm thinking of it in terms of the two teams we have to play next.
Sure.
Do you think I'm overreacting, or am I? Or is that something that's going to be a genuine concern? Because the next two quarterbacks we're playing are no slouches.
Well, I would say that you do have a right to be concerned, because the two good defensive performances we've seen in the last 2 weeks are against struggling offenses.
Yeah, that's fair. I think overall, listen, the only thing that went wrong for special teams tonight, I think, was a missed extra point. As far as the offense goes, that's the best I've seen it look. Also, is it just me, or do Jonathan Smith's quote-unquote gambles seem to pay off more often than not at home, and more often than not they fail on the road?
What did he gamble at today?
The only time he gambled today was, I believe, with the second drive, and he went for it on fourth and one at his own 30 or something. After that, it was pretty much open season.
Well, I think maybe the perception is that because they are usually in closer games on the road and everyone's a little bit more tense. Meanwhile, at home, they're usually kicking the crap out of somebody instead, and it's less noticeable because the game's not close.
That's fair. Also, I think we had a lot of good plays, but I think the most impressive thing was the opening drive of the second half. Not just in how it looked, but I don't know how much time it took off the clock, but when I looked up, it was like under 9 minutes to go or something, and we started that half on that drive, and it was just kind of like, what do you call it, death by a thousand cuts or something. That not only energizes your offense, it kind of demoralizes the other team. I think it might actually be a worse way to score than hitting a 75-yard bomb.
Yeah. Got anything else, Tyler?
No, I think that's it. I'm just looking forward to next week. Before I forget one thing, I would just like to say, I do think the reason ESPN is not coming is because they are cowards. They didn't want to face the music, and they didn't want to spend any time cleaning up their own mess.
Yep.
That's all I got to say about that, TJ.
Yep. Thanks, Tyler. 541-497-5356 on the Downward Dog phone line. We have a line open and the University Honda text line. That's your way to come and hang out on this University Honda Beaver postgame call-in show. Before we go to break, I just want to make something very clear. There is no conspiracy about ESPN not being here next week. ESPN is not coming to Corvallis next week because they don't want to answer any of the questions about the future of Oregon State athletics is hanging in the balance. They don't want to have to answer any of that questions. That's it. That's why they're not coming next week. They don't want, they don't want an extra day of McAfee here. They don't want game day here. That is why. Like, this is a very calculated decision. Think about this. Does it make sense for Kirk Herbstreit to go to game day in wherever, Harrisonburg, I think, Virginia, where James Madison is? Does it make sense for Kirk Herbstreit to go there for game day, have to get on a private jet, and fly all the way cross country, nearly 6 hours, to Corvallis to call this game and then fly him back. Does that make logistical sense? Does that make financial sense for ESPN? No, no, it does not. Like, it's not a conspiracy. That, like, Tyler is right. They are not coming next week because they don't want to face the music. I thought he said it perfectly. And, you know, the players will use that as motivation. If you got an inside look at that Beaver locker room, there might be, someone might mention it. I wouldn't say in a pregame speech against Washington, I wouldn't put it past him. If this game was being played anywhere else next week and there was a top 10 matchup, game day would be there. But you know the reason it's not here next week. 541-497-5356. The way to call or text in on this Beaver postgame call-in show. Taking a break and back with more on 1240 Joe Radio.
Middleton Heating has been here helping you for 74 years, 24 hours a day. Middleton can repair, replace, or maintain all types of heating and cooling equipment. Heating unit troubling you? Need repairs or replacement? Give Middleton Heating a call. For new equipment, Middleton offers several financing options and participates in state, federal, and manufacturer incentive programs. Don't forget, Middleton's custom sheet metal shop is still taking orders, large or small. You can count on Middleton for all your heating, cooling, and sheet metal needs. Online at MiddletonHeating.net.
Come visit the OSHA Beaver Store, the official store for Oregon State University. Their nonprofit stores are run by a passionate team of Beaver fans just like you. For more than a century, the OSHA Beaver Store has been providing Beaver Nation with the best Beaver gear, gifts, and accessories. Stop into one of their stores or visit them online at OSHABeaverStore.com. Remember, as part of their nonprofit mission, your purchase directly supports OSU students. The OSHA Beaver Store, supporting student success since 1914. And go Beavs!
Tackle your to-do list this season and find the right Aetna Medicare plan for you in your home state of Oregon. With Aetna Medicare Advantage plans, you can get a zero monthly plan premium with hospital, medical, and prescription drug coverage. Plans also include dental, vision, and hearing benefits. Be the star quarterback of your health. Call us for personalized coverage review now at 1-833-771-7542. TTY-711. Aetna Medicare is an HMO PPO plan with Medicare contract. RSNPs also have contracts with state Medicaid programs. Enrollment in our plans depends on contract renewal. Plan features and availability may vary by service area.
The fall means it's time for Oregon State football, a new season and a bowl game at the end of the year. It's also a good time to look at that home remodeling project. If you need new carpet, countertops, luxury vinyl, or window coverings, see the staff at Corvallis Floor Covering. They've been coaching Beaver fans and helping you get it done for over 30 years. Stop by and see their showroom, full of all the popular brands that you know, love, and gotta have. They're on the corner of 2nd and Van Buren downtown, or log on to CorvallisFloorCovering.com. Shop local, shop Corvallis Floor Covering, and go Beavs!
Continuing on the University Honda Beaver postgame call-in show, this postgame call-in show is presented by University Honda. Drive home your new Honda from University Honda, the other university in Corvallis, 2150 Northwest 9th Street if you want to go in person, or you can find them online at uhonda.com. TJ Mathewson alongside Garrett Dworshak in our Albany studios. You can call in to this Beaver postgame call-in show or text on the same number, 541-497-5356, the Downward Dog phone line, the University Honda text line. Let's check in on one text from Merrill saying the Beavers should jump Ole Miss tonight. I didn't check the Georgia score up. 52-17. Yeah, okay, you're right, Merrill. So that's one. So we're at least 11. So now it's just, would you rather Penn State, which you can make the argument they should jump Penn State. We'll see what the committee decides on. You can make an argument they jump both of them. They're not jumping Louisville. Louisville won on Thursday. So I think there's a very real... The Beavers will either be, I'd say, 10 or 11 next week. Washington will probably stay at number 5. Let's go to the Downward Dog phone line. Roscoe joins us. Roscoe, good evening.
How are you doing, TJ?
I'm good. How are you?
I tell you, it's a beautiful day in Beaver Nation.
Yeah, you got to be happy about that.
We'll take these kind of wins every chance we get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good because these next two games are going to be pretty tough, I think.
Absolutely. What do you got tonight?
Huh?
Yeah, what do you got for us tonight?
Oh, well, that was most of it. I tell you, Washington undefeated and the Duckies certainly get lucky. What's are you watching the Duck game right now?
I'll probably watch when I go home.
Oh, yeah, I don't listen or watch, but should have started by now.
Yeah, I think they kicked off about 10 minutes ago. So that'll be an interesting one. I'll keep my eye on it. That's a fascinating matchup down the road. You got anything else for me?
I tell you, if we can beat the Ducks in the last Civil War game down there, that would really mean something.
They got a chance. They definitely got a chance. Thanks for the call tonight, Roscoe. Yeah, appreciate it. 541-497-5356. Let's go back to the Downward Dog phone line. Ryan awaiting us. Ryan, good evening.
Hey, TJ, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing swell. Hey, I was listening to you talking about some of that game day stuff. You're almost sounding like a Beaver fan. You don't really have a thing for the Bees, do you?
Well, I'm just saying what's true. Was there anything I said that wasn't?
No, not at all.
I guess I was a little fired up. You're right. I think the added energy would have been real nice. It would have been real nice.
You're right, because I bought tickets to the Washington game months ago, and I'll be there next week. And I already had fine plans. I was going to show up at 2 a.m. and line up. I had it all planned out, but this has ruined everything.
Yeah, I'm gonna say you're disappointed. I'm a little disappointed. I thought it would have been super cool. First time in what 13 years it would have been. Yeah, it would have been 13 years. So it's pretty disappointing. And again, we all know why the reason was made, which makes people a little bit more fired up for it. So regardless, I still think the game's gonna be good. Good, and they're gonna get a national showcase next week.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'll be there with my friend Matt. Shout out to Matt and his dad, who are big Washington fans. I think it's going to be hard for me to reel it in. This will be the first time I've met Matt's dad. And
oh, boy.
It'll be hard for me to, and he's in his early 80s. But Matt said, oh, my dad's crazy. He's a really big Washington fan. I don't think he understands the passion, the anger, the rage and the wrath that's coming out of Beaver Nation right now. I just don't think he gets it. And I don't want him to see that side of me, but he might have to.
Yeah. It's going to be intense next week. What else you got, Ryan?
It feels good to play a game that is a comfortable win, not stressed whatsoever. The Bees were up the entire game. I never had a doubt that they were going to, drop this one to Stanford. So that feels good. I think the offensive line played a lot better. I think the defense, played four quarters, even with some younger guys getting in there. If we can have our offensive line play like they did tonight, next week, and our defense play four quarters, I agree with Andy. I think we win by two scores.
Well, how do you think they should play it, though, next week? Are you with the ball control?
I think I'm kind of on that side, but at the same time, I think this is a reminder to DJ, to Silas, to Jack Dunling, to Anthony Gould, that we have a pass attack now.
Right.
We can air the ball out. Mm-hmm. So let's at least give it a try. We have weapons. And if the offensive line can give DJ time, can get his mind right, I say air it out.
And you got to build a lead somehow, and that's, I guess, how I think about it. So you score to go up, then you can ball control it, I think, a little bit more. You got anything else, Ryan?
I think it was cool to see Gulbranson get in the game. Obviously went 7-1 last year as a starter. I don't know how it feels to kind of take a backseat to, a couple new guys.
Mm-hmm.
His attitude's great. I was glad to get him in the game, get him a passing completion, and I think the fans were receptive from what I could hear. I was only watching on TV this week, but I think he's kind of a heart of the team, even not being on the field as much. I think he lifts other guys up, so that was good to see him.
Yeah, his attitude through this whole thing has been remarkable. It would have been really easy for him to transfer, and he decided not to, and I think he's getting what he wants out of it, at least from what we can all tell.
Yeah, I mean, he might have a doctorate by the end of it.
Right.
So
that's a pretty good payoff.
Yeah. I have to say I was confused, and maybe they just didn't have anything else, but they kept trying to use number 8, Stanford Lamson, I think is his name.
Yeah.
They kept trying to run him, and he just looked terrible. And I don't know if it's just because the matchup wasn't great, our defense was too good, but they kept trying to, you know, run him up the middle, run him on the edge, and he couldn't outrun anyone.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Stanford much this year, but is he talent? I mean, is he...
He's the backup quarterback. Yeah, so that's part of their offense. I think they like him as an athlete, so they want to try and get him the ball in as many places as they can. And you saw him in there at the end of the game taking some snaps at quarterback. That's just how their offense is structured and the skill players they have.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work for him tonight.
No, it did not.
I think he had about 15 carries for negative 10 yards. So that's about where they landed on that. Just a question for you, TJ. What you asked after the Utah game, you had a question, where would you place this Beaver team in the conference? And I want to know right now, and you could even tie, you could say some teams are tied. Where would you put Oregon State in the Pac-12?
I'd say tied at third with Arizona.
That's fair. That is fair. Even though Arizona should have lost to Colorado today.
Probably, but they won. They did win. Okay. And, you know, the Beavers won by one score in Colorado, too. And I want the Beavers, like, they lost to Arizona flat out. They're probably, if you put them on a neutral field, still a better team than Arizona is. So that's why I'll just give them the tie.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't disagree with you there. So I appreciate your thoughts on that. And last thing, I want to shout out my sister, Lisa, who is at the game this evening. She's a OSU alum, the one that pretty much made me a Beaver fan. So thank you, Lisa. Love you. Have a great night. And thank you, TJ.
All right. Appreciate it, Ryan. And thank you, Lisa. 541-497-5356. This post-game call-in show brought to you by University Honda. Drive home your new Honda from University Honda at 2150 Northwest 9th Street, right here in Corvallis, or find them online at uhonda.com. Let's take another break. When we come back, more calls and more texts on the Beaver Postgame Call-In Show right here on Joe Radio.
The Albany VFW wants to remind you that they are now open to the public for dinner every Friday night beginning at 5 and for breakfast on Sunday morning from 8 until 11. The Friday dinner menu changes every week, so go to the VFW's Facebook page for details. The Albany VFW is proud to sponsor several local scholarship programs and essay contests. VFW membership is growing. Stop in and see if you qualify for a post or an auxiliary membership. VFW Post 584 is located behind Power Honda at 1469. Timber Street in Albany.
Do you have questions about your retirement? As a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, PacWest Wealth Partners can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work one-on-one with an advisor to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call PacWest Wealth Partners today at 541-757-3000 with offices in Albany, Bend, Corvallis, and Salem.
The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
This is Mike Parker for Evenflow Plumbing, your trusted award-winning plumber for the Mid-Valley. Evenflow specializes in complete plumbing and drain cleaning solutions for residential and commercial jobs. They treat your home like it's their home, and their flat rate pricing means no surprises at the end of the job. Evenflow takes pride in doing the job right the first time. Just call 541-738-8853 for all your plumbing needs. When you need a pro, go with the flow. Evenflow Plumbing.
Equipped from front to rear with industry-leading, easy-to-use features, Kubota B-Series tractors are the total package. With high horsepower and excellent durability and implements that easily attach and detach, Kubota B-Series tractors can do anything in any season. See Lynn Benton Tractor and Tangent or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Lynn Benton Tractor, we're still doing business the American way.
The home of the Oregon State Beavers, the Seattle Mariners, and all things sports. This is 1240 AM KEJO, Corvallis, Albany.
Back on the Beaver Postgame Call-In Show in our KEJO studios. The number to text your call is 541-497-5356 on the Downward Dog phone line or the University Honda text line. This post-game call-in show brought to you, of course, every week by our friends at University Honda. Drive home your new Honda from University Honda, the other university in Corvallis. They make buying a car easy. Find them in person at 2150 Northwest 9th Street in Corvallis or online at uhonda.com. On the University Honda text line, Alan from LA with another check-in from Southern California. Remember, he called last week and said we talked about Damian Martinez last week and concerned how he wasn't as dominant as he was last year. While you said he was still very good, the bar was set very high for him. Today, Martinez jumped over that bar. I'll actually be traveling to next week's game, and I expect a competitive game. Alan, thanks for texting in again. Looking forward to a call. If you're here next week, give us a call if you're in the area. 541-497-5356. Andy with a couple of texts. Special shout out to an all-time great Beaver, Dr. Jesse Hayden. He stuck with the Bees through the thick and the thin and also gave me a super nice bottle, a bottle of Patron. Okay. And then to my game day comments, bring it. Tonight's the night I officially became a Beaver. Hearing you call out ESPN was a proud moment for me. Thank you, Andy. That warms my heart. 541-497-5356, the number to text or call. Let's go to the Downward Dog phone line and hear from Paul. Paul, good evening.
Hey, TJ. Yeah. Sorry I couldn't make the pregame show there. I was a little late getting back.
Oh, you're good.
Anyway, they surprised the heck out of me. I just didn't think that we were going to be that good.
I thought it was going to be close.
Call me a denier. Oh, yeah, I didn't think we'd cover the spread. I thought we'd, you know, go up by maybe, you know, 25 points or something and then give up a couple of touchdowns. But everything was working. I mean, DJ looked great. I mean, a few of the passes, you know, he misfired. You know, he threw one into the ground and then he overthrew one on the sideline. But if you're going to overthrow one, the sideline's where you want to do it.
Right. And, you know, he was only 12 of 19, funny enough, but all the big throws he needed to hit, he did.
Well, yeah, I loved the rainbow. Poor Terry had to come back, and it was almost another jump ball like Belling did, you know, a couple of games back.
He could have put that in the end zone easily if he didn't get hit as he threw. I mean, that throw was even more impressive because... Yeah, I wouldn't imagine that play is supposed to have pressure in his face as he's throwing that football all the way across the field. That could have even been even better.
Oh yeah, yeah, but just the way that Terry finished the play and got into the end zone.
Yeah,
and then of course the Fenwick play. I mean, not only the hurdle, but then they tried to tackle him, and then he just pushed him off of him as he stepped into the end zone. I mean, that was another great finish on the touchdown.
Pretty bonkers. There's not really much negative to take from this game, Paul.
No, except that long bomb they gave up. But that was definitely a coverage mistake. Somebody didn't get their assignment right and left that guy wide open.
Yeah, it was. But I would say at that point it was 55-10. So it was, you kind of shrug your shoulders.
Yeah. At that point, you're pretty sure that they're not going to score 40 points.
Correct.
But yeah, it was a good day and fun was had by all.
Yes, absolutely. You got anything else?
Well, that'll do it. I just say hi to Dave from Tumwater and drive safe, Dave. I hope you're getting close to home.
All right. Well, he's up next, Paul. So we'll see what rebuttal he's got. Thanks, Paul. 541-497-5356. Let's go to Dave. Dave, good evening.
Good evening, TJ. Three topics.
Okay.
I want to talk about. I want to talk about Paul. I want to talk about the game. And then I want to cap off with the ESPN game day.
Sure.
So first of all, with Paul, so he sits, or actually he stands. He's kind of a ringmaster for a whole group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same guys. They're there every week. And he's down in that disabled section. And he's kind of like the mayor of that whole section. He's talking to everyone. Roaming around, it's just quite a sight to see. So let me just get that shout out to Paul. My seats are just right up above him, so I kind of see his gambit there. The game, I thought the key to the astounding success was an early commitment to the run. There were a lot of passes early, and the passing game was okay. It was pretty efficient, But that game was a dominating win because there was a commitment to the run. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yards, even when Reichel came in, although that might have been with the Stanford backups. Not quite sure. Don't know that roster. That game was a success because of the strong commitment to the run, and that will be a key next week as well. Tyler talked about the coach's gamble. Now, see, that's an example. That fourth down call, fourth and one, maybe even less than one, your own 40, 45, early in the game, that's a situation where you got to grab your own fate, get that first down, go down and get the second score. That was not a gamble. That's when you do something like that. So props to the coach. I was also proud of him, I must say, after Sappington missed that extra point that would have made it 35. I was afraid when we got that first score in the third quarter. I thought that Coach Smith, if he was true to form, he would have gone for two there to try to chase after that missed extra point, which was always, which was Mike Riley's, one of Mike Riley's great faults. He had the propensity to go chasing the missed extra point. I was proud of Coach Smith. He knew the game was at hand. Just kick the one, move on, keep your hand on the plow, keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, game day. I'm thrilled game day is not coming to Corvallis.
Okay.
And I don't want to come across as cranky or surly, DJ, but I got to be honest. I'll just call it like it is. It was the sports media following Oregon State football that was most interested in game day coming to town. I'm glad it's not coming to town, first of all, very prosaic reason. I might have been tempted to watch that show at home before driving down for the 4:30 kickoff. Now I can get a nice early start, get down, get my tailgate party set up, and so they can have fun in Harrison, Virginia, or wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
More substantively, you're right about why they're not going to be there. But that could be turned to Oregon State and Washington State's tactical advantage, maybe even strategic advantage going forward, because we're in a war regarding the future of the conference and our future within that conference, and they're hightailing it out of town, passing on what is likely going to be a top 10 matchup, can be used to embarrass them going forward in the subsidiary developments after the big court case on Tuesday. It's late in the night. I can elaborate on that theme maybe during the week with Mike and John, but their passing on this game can be used against them and Fox in the lawsuits, claims, other judgments. Trust me on this. That can be advantageous. Lastly, that show is a shadow of its former self. All of the top talent on game day, with one exception, Herb Street, has left the show. Chris Fowler's not there anymore. Bear's not there. Tom Rinaldi's not there. Aaron Andrews isn't there. Gene Wojciechowski, I think I mentioned Bear. With the exception of Herb Street, all of the top talent on that show was gone. And truthfully, I said to my wife this morning before I left to come down for today's game, I said, this show is just so pathetic. And yeah, there might have been a micron of publicity for it. It would have been good for the Corvallis Chamber of Commerce, but that show, who wants to see clowns like McAfee? And that's mostly for his sake, because he's their big gun now.
Yep.
With college football. So McAfee, who wants to watch that clown? The only reason Herb Street's sticking with that show is because somebody's got to prop up Lee Corso. And so it would have been the particular. I can see the sign. I could have seen the signs now for Corso. Hey, coach, you think anyone wants to watch Washington and Oregon State play? Going back to Coach Dickert's debate that he had with that whole crew back in September. So I know there's a little snark here, but I in my heart, I really think it was the media. And Ron Callen tipped his hand. It was people like Ron were mostly interested. They want their peer group in town. Herb Street, he's the big guy. the students might have been, a good opportunity, but most people don't care. I say, great, they've moved on to someplace else. Let's use it for leverage in the short term, which is by motivating the team when the Huskies come to town. Let's leverage it in the long term with our fight against the traitorous 10, the conferences, the networks who are trying to exile Oregon State University. I'm losing my voice, TJ. You've been generous with the time. Paul, thanks for the shout-out. We'll see you next week. TJ, that's all I got.
Okay, thanks for the call, Dave. Hope you have a good night. There's a lot to unpack there. Let's think about it in this commercial break. We have no texts or calls right now, so we'll take our final break. If you'd like to get in, this is your last chance. The Downward Dog phone line and the University Honda text line is 541-497-5356. Back with more after this on Joe Radio.
Nobody likes to be pressured. At Wilson Motors, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, we've built our reputation on providing great service without the high-pressure tactics people hate. We've been family-owned since 1940, so we treat our customers like family. We've worked hard, so when you come here, you'll be treated like family. This is Bob Bending, and you have my word on it. Wilson Motors, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, 5th and Buchanan.
Wilson Motors in Corvallis or online at save@wilson.com or wilsonmotors.org.
Do you ever experience headaches? Or how about back pain? Here at Heresco Chiropractic, we truly believe that everybody deserves to live a life without pain. Our doctors will get to the root of your condition and create a custom treatment plan to help you get back to living the best version of your life. Our patients often say how amazed they feel to live a life with less pain after they have experienced how effective chiropractic care is. Start on the journey of improved health by giving us a call today or visiting our website at Heresco.com. Heresco Chiropractic in Corvallis. We really can make a world of difference for you.
The fall means it's time for Oregon State football, a new season and a bowl game at the end of the year. It's also a good time to look at that home remodeling project. If you need new carpet, countertops, luxury vinyl, or window coverings, see the staff at Corvallis Floor Covering. They've been coaching Beaver fans and helping you get it done for over 30 years. Stop by and see their showroom, full of all the popular brands that you know, love, and gotta have. They're on the corner of 2nd and Van Buren downtown, or log on to CorvallisFloorCovering.com. Shop local, shop Corvallis Floor Covering, and go Beavs!
This is Mike Parker for Evenflow Plumbing, your trusted award-winning plumber for the Mid-Valley. Evenflow specializes in complete plumbing and drain cleaning solutions for residential and commercial jobs. They treat your home like it's their home, and their flat rate pricing means no surprises at the end of the job. Evenflow takes pride in doing the job right the first time. Just call 541-738-8853 for all your plumbing needs. When you need a pro, go with the flow. Evenflow Plumbing.
Final segment on the Beaver postgame call-in show. TJ Mathewson alongside Garrett Dworshak in our KEJO studios. This postgame call-in show is presented by University Honda. Drive home your new Honda from University Honda, the other university in Corvallis. In person at 2150 Northwest 9th Street in Corvallis or online at uhonda.com. Tyler, a different Tyler, is called in on the Downward Dog phone line. Let's go visit with the other Tyler. Good evening, Tyler.
Hey, we're in full force today, DJ. I was in the line for the bathroom at Reeser, and there were two other Tylers behind me. So we're showing out today.
Let's see how many we can get to call into this show.
Right, exactly. Hey, I just push back a little bit on Dave, the legendary Dave from Tumwater, I think that was. But I can say I know a good amount of fans who really did want game day to come to Corvallis, and I was included in that. And I get it. You know, the show is a show of itself, and there are, you know, a host of reasons why. I certainly think McAfee's a clown and a joke, and he doesn't have the kind of love and respect for the game that the old hosts had. It's about himself and all that rather than the school that they're hosting. Look, I get all that, but there's a sign making contest when I was, you know, young, and there was a sign making contest when game day came to to Corvallis for the Civil War in 2010. And the sign I made for my brother, it was a massive painted duck. I painted a duck for him, and it said, "Shut the duck up." And it won the contest. He got backstage tickets to game day. He got to meet Aaron Andrew, the whole crew. It was really cool. But that's like nostalgia for me. I still have a game day, work helmet from there. And so, like, I felt like there were a lot of fans hoping. But this is, in my opinion, the straw that breaks the camel's back. I mean, you look at all the spiting of Corvallis and Oregon State and Washington State and all that, just the complete disregard. You know, all up until this point, it could have been maybe, it was getting less this way, but for the most part, it could have probably been, it's just coincidence and it's just, nobody's really gunning for them. But this is the straw that breaks the camel's back in regards to this. This is spite. It's a spiteful act to choose a JMU and Appalachian State over Oregon. I mean, this is just, if they wanted to expose themselves for the world to see, for the hateful, spiteful, group of money grubbing jerks they are, this is it. I mean, this, the cloth is off, and I, like, you know, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of seeing it. Money is destroying this sport, and you'll never hear this, and I don't care, but somebody ought to pull Herb Street aside and tell him straight up, you are actively involving yourself in the killing of the sport that you not only love, but successfully promoted for years. It's an embarrassment. Somebody has to tell this guy. I don't know who has connections to him or what, but he's the one guy, like David said, is a remnant of the past. And I genuinely think every time I've heard Herb Street talk about Oregon State or, teams you might think that, massive media people don't know about, like every time I've heard him talk about it, the guy watches tape and he cares. And so somebody's got to get to this guy and tell him, these people are destroying your reputation. You have a chance here to fix this. And I hope somebody gets through to him, because I don't think that represents Herb Street very well at all. I'm at a loss for words. This is the knife in the back. This is like, just disgusting. It's in your face. And I hope something's done about it. It's disgusting.
There's no, you're right, but there's nothing Kirk Herbstreit could do about it. Like, he can't go over his head to reverse these decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree with that. I just the guy has to hold more sway than that, though. I mean, he's been the face of College game day since I can remember. The guy, I mean, he has to have more leverage than that. And if anything, maybe he can't change the decision. Certainly, I don't think he can. I'm not holding him responsible for that. But, there are personal decisions you can make. Like, he can sit down with the top dogs and say, this is not representing the sport that I love. And, if I leave, what do you guys have left? I mean, I think there are things he absolutely can do. And maybe he's doing that behind the scene. And I'm not saying, he's sole responsible for it all, but I hope there's somebody in his corner telling him this is what they're doing is out of control. I mean, there's that Washington State situation where they clearly stepped in it. I mean, everybody, who cares about the sport was calling them out for it. And then there's this situation, which I think Herb Street really wanted to come to Corvallis from everything I heard and read and everything.
Mm-hmm. Talked about it on Seattle Sports earlier this week.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm referencing. I mean, it sounded like he genuinely wanted to come. And there's so much intrigue. I mean, there's no reason they should not be here.
I know.
There's just no reason other than that it's a spiteful. I mean, I would love to hear another reason for them not being here other than it's a spiteful
the reason ESPN would give is to prop up JMU. And Herb Street very well could think this all personally, but he's not going to say it because he likes what his paycheck looks like. And unfortunately, that's at the end of the day, that's what it's boiled down to. You got anything else?
Yep. No, that's it. Thank you, DJ. I appreciate you taking the time letting me have the time to rant there. But go Bees. We'll be in Reese for Washington.
All right. Appreciate the call, Tyler. Thanks for calling in. 541-497-5356. Merrill Jr. is on the Downward Dog phone line. We'll go check in with him. Merrill, good evening.
Oh, TJ, you're on fire tonight, brother.
Am I?
Yes. You're just you're calling out everybody left and right here.
Oh, okay.
I love it. You're saying the truth. And for somebody in the media, no offense, that's rare, okay? To say it, because just like you said, these people like their paycheck.
Yeah.
All right? And that's just the truth of it. And that's why you're my favorite media member, okay? You're not an elite media member whatsoever, but that's what it's all about. I kind of have caught tail pieces of, you know, what's been said about the game day thing. It's all a farce. Lee Corso doesn't even know his own name. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, it's a farce. It's a farce now.
Yep.
Okay? And Dave is right. It's just the quality has gone down, and it's a joke. So I think it's going to be fuel for the Beavs, and that's all I care about right now. But back to tonight's game. So, you know, you made a comment earlier. I was listening earlier about you felt like the Beavers were in attack mode tonight. I don't know if I even agree with that. They scored a lot of points, but I'm not even sure they're in attack mode. DJ had, I think he attempted 19 passes. I wouldn't call that attack mode.
I mean, he averaged 11 yards a pass. That sounds pretty aggressive to me.
I mean, you had that Gould slant that went for 60 plus. You know, the Jermaine Terry deep shot. I just think the offense was finally in some rhythm tonight at home. I mean, the Beavers, I've never seen a team play so much different at home.
Yeah.
And on the road.
Yeah, that
in all aspects.
That's what I agree with. Absolutely.
Defense and offense. We look like we're invincible.
Yeah.
And the other thing that popped tonight, and this was kind of said earlier by another caller, and this is the difference in our offense, is we pop some big runs, lower TDs. Right. We have not popped big runs this year for TDs, and that's kind of been the staple of our offense in the past few years, is popping these big runs. And yes, we get some easy scores. We haven't had that this whole year. We really had to grind out drives.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to open the second half. We had a 7-minute drive.
Yeah.
So to me, I understand what you said about attacking. I'm not sure I would call it that, just because for me, attack mode, I think DJ would have to throw the ball 35, 40 times to really do that. And so for the game upcoming this weekend, I think Washington is very vulnerable in a lot of ways. I mean, Stanford put 33 on them. I mean, and Stanford sucks. I'm sorry, but that was one of the worst teams.
Yeah.
That was similar to Colorado last year
at
home. Just terrible team. I'm like, both their QBs were terrible. I mean, and it's hilarious, Beaver fans thinking that we were concerned about the defense because they gave up a few things late. That was a joke. I can't believe you can never please these people. but I like that you're keeping them in check of, okay, it's the backups, come on now. But I think for this next game, I think it's going to be, you know, remember, we had Ben, and this is no slight to him. This is just reality. We had Ben Golbranson playing quarterback last year, and we probably should have won the game against Washington at UW.
Mm-hmm.
If not for, you know, Rayshon Wright kind of having a stroke on third and 20-something, third and goal, I think, at the 25, he let a tight end get right behind him for their final score. I'm like, how does this guy make the NFL after that? Props to him, though. But For me, I think it's not going to be as much ball control. I think it's just going to be us. I mean, I think we're going to strike while the iron's hot. I would say we're going to take a few chances downfield. I think that's where we didn't even really need to show it tonight. But we still have not hit many passes downfield. And when I say downfield, I don't, because obviously, you know, we saw Jermaine Terry, you know, that downfield, right? And yeah, Gould had a 61-yarder. But I'm talking in the air, 50-plus yards, because we have guys open down the field. And I think that's the final straw at home. I do think our line is, you know, kind of in that November mode, and like Andy had mentioned about our running backs just in the zone. And I do think we're going to start gashing a little bit more. You know, we've played, besides Colorado, we had that string of Arizona, Utah, Cal, who am I forgetting? There's somebody else in there.
UCLA.
That just had stout, UCLA, yes, just stout run defenses. They really actually can play the run. And I think we saw kind of, and they're great tackling. And like you said, thank you for bringing it up, Washington doesn't tackle.
No.
So I think we have a lot of advantages for next week where we kind of get up early, but I think gonna really continue to run our offense, but in a different way of taking a few shots. I wouldn't call it attack mode, though, but I definitely wouldn't call it grind it out. I think Andy's wrong on that. We don't have to grind it out because we have a competent quarterback. And we're not scared to pass the ball.
When I hear grind it out, that means play ultra conservative, limit what your offense can do on purpose, just for the sole purpose of burning clock. I think, let me reword what I said. I said attack mode. I went back and looked at the play calling, and I think you guys are right. They did run it a little bit more, but you can be in, I would say you can be in attack mode if you're running the football. If you're doing what they did tonight, I think that's for sure. I mean, it's not that Damian Martinez wasn't attacking, but let me just reword that. Let me just say explosive. They need to be explosive next week.
Okay.
I think that's
okay.
A little bit better because if you're explosive, you're scoring more efficiently and you're putting significantly more pressure on both the UW defense and the UW offense to be perfect.
Sure. And I also think, you know, it's a phenomenon. Don't get me wrong because I've never seen anything like it, but our defense plays insane at home
mm-hmm.
too as far as limiting the actual amount of touchdowns. I mean, USC 17 points last year and we had, what, 20 picks?
Yeah.
And it's like, we completely limit teams, like, they have their worst game against us on offense when they play a Reser.
Yep.
And I think it's going to ring true because, I mean, UW in Seattle scoring 14 against Billy. I mean, come on, TJ. Come on.
Yeah.
I know they're explosive. And trust me, I think Penix he's the best college throwing QB I've ever seen as far as pure passer in my 31 years of living.
Wow.
Best guy I've seen by far, pure passing.
Okay.
Not going to say playmaking, running, you know, there's a lot of other aspects of playing quarterback, but as far as the ball coming out of his hand to the receiver, I think he's the best I've seen.
Okay.
Playing in person and on a TV, et cetera, right? I just can't think of anybody else that looks as good as him and makes the correct decisions. However, with that said, somehow our edge rushers get off every single block at home. There's pressure all the time at home. I mean, it's a phenomenon. I don't know what it is. I really don't. Reacher's a good home crowd. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be delirious next week, but we just have this edge at home, and I think our players feed to it, and I know our coaches feed to it too. You know, how many times do you hear Jonathan? Every single time after a game, win or lose at home, crowd was amazing tonight. Couldn't have done it without them. I mean, that motivates me. It inspires me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, I just think it's going to be one of those games. I do agree. I think it would be a shocker where we win by multiple scores. I can't even believe I'm saying that because I do have a lot of respect for the UW program and DeBoer as well. I think he's a great coach. I just think they're kind of, from what I've heard, this is all rumors or just observation kind of media people. Oh, they've been banged up. Penix was sick a few weeks ago, et cetera. I don't know how true all those things are, but they're not coming in full strength.
No. No.
And I hope it was Noble Thomas. Is he going to be okay? Can you please ask that?
I won't be there this Monday, but I can communicate it.
Because he didn't play tonight, and I'm worried because fourth quarter, I think McCoy went out for a play and he was, you know, playing with the backups, right? Mm-hmm. And then Jaden Robinson came in the game and I'm like, what? Do we really not have any other corners to play in the fourth quarter at home in a game?
Mm-hmm.
So should we send our starter in with 5 minutes left? I'm like, that was disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Thomas was out tonight. I just hope, and he played 2 weeks ago, but I don't know if he re-aggravated, but we need him. We need all hands on deck in that aspect. The other thing that I noticed tonight is just, and I'm so scared, TJ, just pray for me because I'm getting anxiety for it. I'm so scared that we are going to have a major aneurysm on special teams, and it's going to cost us a game. I'm just so scared. The punt, the only reason Stanford had a TD in the first half is because we had a terrible punt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, terrible.
I know.
Kicked it low and short, the worst type of punt, and the guy should have housed it, honestly, because it was that bad. And I'm just, that worries me, Teach. I'm really worried about it. It's giving me anxiety the whole year. I think I said this week one to you about the special teams.
It could happen.
And I'm just waiting for that brutal kill shot, you know, a self-inflicted on the punt game specifically, the punting.
So,
and I'm just, I don't want it to happen.
So you're, I would say, trying not to jinx a blocked punt next week.
Blocked punt, snap over his head for a safety, something stupid like that, just a bobble where he fumbles it and Washington houses it. I mean, I think they have some sort of block kick tonight or maybe something like that. But it worries me because any special teams coach that remotely collects a paycheck knows that our punt team sucks. If they watch two games of film, they know that we're vulnerable on that every time.
Well, I know a solution to that. Just don't punt next week. Do what they did.
Well,
today.
Yeah, that'd be great. Do the attack mode, like you said.
There
I'm going to keep saying attack mode this whole week because it makes me feel better.
There you go.
The other thing I will say is, besides the fraud program down in Eugene, we'll get to them in a little bit. But is that I just, it may catch me on this tease, but I just feel every UW fan that I've seen on the Twitterverse or that is so just thinks they're invincible.
Really?
And it's like kind of disturbing.
Is it all just off the softy branch?
No, there's others.
Okay.
I think there's others that think, oh, we have such a good coaching staff. I mean, remember, the coaching staff has only been in the Pac-12 for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And you can kind of tell that the second year, defenses are figuring out their offense. I mean, that's kind of what it takes, is a year or two. You can come in and be really hot on offense, but then the next year, people have film on you. You have the same tendencies. You know, we have some defenses figuring it out. I mean, you can't tell me that ASU's defense is good. Can you tell me that, TJ? You would know. Exactly. You, that reaction said it enough for me. but anyways, and I saw a lot of young players that I like today. Number 32, Isaiah Chisholm. He's going to be a freak, man. He's got the body. He's got the speed at inside linebacker, and he hasn't played that much this year because, you know, we've had guys there, right? But I saw him just flying around and just has the attitude. Loved it. And I'm so glad to see Oladapo get his picks because he's just been a great player for us.
Yeah, I can't believe he hadn't had one yet.
Yeah, he's been one of my favorite Beavers of all time, frankly, you know, being a walk-on, the whole deal, and just being a really, really good player. Really good player in the middle of that defense, especially at that position, because we haven't had some of the best safeties in years past in the dark days. So, you know, having him there has been awesome. And there's one other point I wanted to – oh, just I'm still – I think, you know, I asked you – I think it was after Wazoo. Like, what do you think DJ's best throw is? And I'm like wondering what the coaches think his best throws. And I really think his best throw is to the sideline. I think he struggles throwing it in the middle of the field. Because it's
like middle short, like middle medium,
just like middle of the field between
period.
The hashes.
Okay.
I just, the accuracy is so wildly inconsistent, and he has guys open. But that outside, he's got a thing for the outside corners, you know, that just rolling out, rolling to his right, throwing across his body. I mean, he could do it when the guy's 30 yards open, right?
Right.
But I just think that outside, and I think you're slowly seeing the coaches realize, okay, these are his best throws, but I think it's taken this long, which is fine. You know, I think we could expect that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some growing pains, but I'm expecting him the next two games. I mean, if he plays remotely, if he plays anywhere between, let's just say Colorado and Cal, in between those games, as far as ability, I think we can go 2-0, TJ. I really do.
There we go.
The fraud program in Eugene does not scare me.
Okay.
Because the Civil War, anything can happen, but also we are very good on the outside on defense at our DBs tackling. Our DBs are great tacklers. Okay. All they run is sideways screen to the outside, quick hits. They're trying to get one-on-one matchups, right? I like our one-on-one matchups in the field of play there. I like our safeties coming downfield. I can't imagine that. I mean, the Ducks have been remarkably healthy. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not sure what Landanning is feeding them down there, but it's probably illegal. I mean, we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
So it should be investigated. Probably some Jim Harbaugh stuff going down there, you know.
Yeah.
They do whatever they want. But I'm really that I'm going into that game because I'm just gonna be honest with you, and this could sound overconfident, but I'm just thinking that we're gonna beat UW next week. I always have. We're at Research. I'm just like, okay, we're gonna win the game. Move on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna be like Stanford was tonight, but I'm just like, okay, it's a dub. It's at Research, right? Then we go into that game and I think that we can bludgeon them. I really do. I think we're gonna be juiced. I think it's gonna But my fear, you know, is like, I don't know if you remember 2 years ago when we played there and Chance Nolan came out and we probably played one of the worst halves I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that first half.
I wanted to leave the game. I turned to my father and I was like, I wanted to leave the game. And he turned to me and he said, I want to leave the game. We didn't. But I've never felt that feeling before. And I can't feel that, TJ. I can't feel that again.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing our part for this. I also think our defense, we're just getting better, and Jonathan Smith's brand is play the games in November that matter and really focus on November. He says that every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're at that thing, and I think the Ducks could have peaked already. I mean, what do you think about that?
The Ducks have peaked already?
If the Ducks have peaked, they're peaking at the wrong time.
It's very possible, because I don't know if they could play better than they're playing right now. So it's just the question is, to the peak, does the peak carry for two more weeks?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how can it though with a fraud coach like they have? Come on.
I guess it wouldn't then.
Anyways, that was a long rant. Thank you for listening. You're the best as always. And I really appreciate, again, seriously, Teach, you're calling out the elite fraud people in media. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Because it is about their paycheck. And, like, they're trying to do a good job. I get it. You know, I'm not Herb Streaks, whatever. But it's just a scam. It's all a scam. And mm-hmm. The fact that they're trotting Corso out there, I've said this for, like, 2 years. It's not right. It should be reported to DHS as elder abuse. Because it's that bad. Have you seen it?
I don't usually wake up early enough to watch game day, but I get it. Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad. No, it's so bad. It's so bad. And I'll end with this, and it's really disappointing because I've never been into the whole Washington State is our brother, and I don't like them. Okay, I don't care about them. I don't like them. They're not our brothers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their coach is a fraud, too. Did you see his video last week of him after they lost every single game since they played us talking about how they're behind in NIL?
Yeah, I did.
He used his whole press conference for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? That has nothing to do with you're not good. You're not a good coach. Stop talking about NIL. Okay, you were talking about Cougs against the world. Oh, yeah, let's have a background. It's just Cougs against the world. Now you're just complaining and you're trying to get fans to pony up after you can't win a game. I thought that was pathetic. I mean, that was way up there with Coach Prime. I mean, and even Coach Prime wouldn't say that.
You're on a heater tonight, Merrill.
I can't. You know, I'm assuming you agree if you're telling me I'm on a heater.
Yeah, You do make a good point there. I'm honestly more in the camp of feeling a little bit bad for Washington State, because especially if this is how it ends for them at the Power 5 level, losing all these games and
Get it out. Jonathan hasn't said anything like that.
I know. Maybe more I feel bad for the Cougar fans, because I know Jake Dickert's still very rich.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, Jake, why don't you just donate some of your money to NIL? Is that legal? I'm serious, actually. I don't even know. Is that legal?
I don't see why it wouldn't.
I'm sure people are doing it. I'm sure coaches are doing it if they're smart.
Like, where would... I don't think so. He's not paying them directly. So, I don't see why not.
Yeah, so why wouldn't it be legal?
To the collective. So, yeah, I don't know.
And he got the luckiest... He was at the right time at the right place and said the right things because he had Rolo before.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
And it was a joke that he even got the job. So it's like, he should be thanking his lucky stars and everything for that. But mm-hmm. No, they're not our brothers. It coups against the world. It's a scam. Again, the media scam, okay? So, anyways, that's what I got for you. Did ASU win today?
Well, they're up 3-0 right now. They're playing right now at the Rose Bowl.
Okay, because I am depending on them to beat the Ducks next week.
Oh, 10-0.
Because,
whoa.
Oh, it's huge. Most points been scored all season right now.
Well, they scored a lot on Wazoo and make you happy.
Well, no, they're going to score a lot on the Ducks is what you wanted to say there.
Okay. Hey, last time they visited the Ducks, second to last week of the regular season, good things happened.
Oh, we got your clip, Teej. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We got it.
It was good. It was a good one. That's one of my favorite
moments.
Appreciate
it. Thank you for saying I was on a heater. That means a lot to me. Appreciate you. Also, just to let you know, I was sitting at the very top of Research today against your press box, but not actually yours, but at the 50. It was a great seat.
Oh, that's good.
And I could have just reached into the booth and just said something. You know, the mics, the field mics were pointing to me. I kind of wanted to get on there and just say some scam thing, you know.
You should have tried. Would have been famous.
There was a play, like, I think it was 13 minutes left in the game when Jack Connay, who's been great actually this year, love him too. Stud walk on, been awesome. He had a big hit on a guy on the sideline.
Yeah.
And then the Stanford guy came up and started talking to him. And I screamed, I was like, yeah, 22, talk your crap. You know, you're down 50. It was one of those plays where you're just like, hey, just take the hit, dude. But he had to get up and get in the Beaver face. I was just like, whatever. So I'm going to look for it on the film watch.
Okay.
Of that. See if you can hear my voice there. So anyways, thanks, Teej. Have a great night.
Thanks, Merrill. Thanks for calling in. Always a good way to cap off this call-in show. Let's wrap it up with a couple of texts. Steven Newberg. Let's see. A few texts come in here after Dave's call. Friend from Tumwater is the right idea. Game day, seems like they'll catch more flack for failing to come to Corvallis than anything that would have happened in a negative light during the show. Okay. By the way, isn't it is nice to see how consistent is DJ keeping his eyes down the field when under duress? Yes, I think so. Thank you, Steve. Amy adding in, game day doesn't want to come to Corvallis because of the negativity they'll receive here from fans. They don't want to deal with all the Beaver fans' signs that won't be complimentary about them on the air, and they certainly don't want to discuss the controversy at the desk either. Fun time at Reeser tonight. Thank you, Amy. Andy checking back in, saying, when I mean say grind it out, I mean physically bludgeon them. I fully anticipate putting up 35 points, but probably with 35 runs, Andy and Mitchell. Also, from now on, it's Marshawn Fenwick. Okay, thank you, Andy. I think that was off to my point where I said running it. Let's see, the way I thought Andy meant was just being super conservative on offense, but he's fully content with scoring a lot of points, which is good. Final text here. Go Beavs, what a great win. TJ, I could care less about college game day coming here, but what would have been really cool is Big Noon kickoff came here. Now that's an awesome show. Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that is my real question. I think that would be more. Like, that would make people more angry if Big Noon kickoff came here. Like, Fox is the one directly responsible for all of this. Like, the number one culprit. Are you sure? unless you think that's a good idea to boo them more and have more signs. But they would also be less likely to come here in the first place. I'm not so sure. I'm really not. Do I want to know what would make the show a little bit more interesting? Is anyone started talking, they had to state their blood alcohol content was. What their blood alcohol content is. Okay. Now, as I think that would make it more entertaining, I can't have people cussing on this radio show. So, maybe one or two drinks. I'd say one or two drinks. I don't know if I quite trust anybody with all that alcohol in them. And you know, all the people who did call in, they might have had three or four or five or six drinks, and I couldn't tell. But like moderation, I would say to come on these airwaves would be a little bit better. But thank you for that text. Again, just gonna have to disagree with the Big Noon Kickoff. If you think it's a good show, great. Taking Fox's 9 a.m. pregame show here, I think, is a mistake. Let's see. Read my text. I did. Let's see. Forgot to mention the run by Fenwick. Beaver mode. Okay. I did read this text. Ryan. Actually, you know what? You know what? You called me out, and I was wrong. I did not read this text. Forgot to mention the run by Fenwick. Beaver mode. Dershawn Fenwick, Lynchwick. Okay, that's a mouthful. Off of Marshawn Lynch. I was screaming, and my buddy's wife said she could hear us across the street. That gave us some juice at the game. What a play. Thank you, Ryan, for adding that in. Okay, apologies for not getting to your text message. I think that's going to wrap it up for us here on the Beaver Post Game Call-In Show. This call-in show, of course, brought to you by University Honda. Drive home your new Honda from University Honda, the other university in Corvallis, in person at 2150 Northwest 9th Street in Corvallis, or online at uhonda.com. For Garrett Dworshak helping me out here in studio, I'm TJ Matthews, and we'll be right here about the same time, a little bit later next week, for the Oregon State Beavers and the Washington Huskies. It'll be a 4:30 kickoff on ABC. Really looking forward to that. Until then, we'll talk to you next time on 93.7 FM and 1240 Joe Radio.